The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
What I did mention as well earlier today was these CSO stats published today that showed that food prices in Ireland are 12% above the European average. Katrina Redmond is a consumer columnist with The Examiner and is with me. Katrina, why are we so much more expensive?
Well, what's interesting about this research is that this research reflects the comparison in prices across a Euro, kind of a Eurostat area. So it's EU plus slightly extended. But these prices are only reflected for the year up to the end of 2024. So the prices that we're experiencing at the moment, and as you know, the CSO, the cross price index, that was published less than 2 weeks ago, already said that food inflation was nearly, was over double the consumer price index at the moment. This reflects the data up to the end of last year. And it's very interesting to see that Ireland is the second or the third most expensive country, depending on kind of which way you look at it. There's statistics and then more statistics.
And is that just by virtue of the size and scale of Ireland, that the economy of scale argument that applies in other parts of the European Union doesn't apply here, that we import so much of our food that it has to come here by sea? What is it that means we experience that food inflation more acutely?
So there's different factors, and this also includes alcoholic beverages, tobacco and non-alcoholic beverages, so it isn't just food. So, for example, tobacco, Ireland is the most expensive country in this average of 36 countries, and the reason for that is the taxation of tobacco products, so it's no surprise to any of us there. We are, I think, the first most expensive when it comes to non-alcoholic beverages, so that's your sodas and your pops. And part of the reason for that is not only do we have the return fee for our cans and our drinks, but we also have an increase in taxation if there's a high sugar drink as well. So again, no surprises there. And when it comes to food then, some of the items that were more expensive for us, so we're the third most expensive country for bread and cereals. That's reflected by us being an island nation. But interestingly, we're the ninth most expensive for meat and the eighth most expensive for fish, the eighth most expensive for milk, cheese and eggs. And all of those, you'd kind of scratch your head a little bit.
Yeah, we produce all of that here, even those cereals and grains. I mean, my God, stuff has fallen over in the fields. It's so heavy with ripeness, the spring barley and what have you, winter barley already in the sheds. How is all that so dear?
Well, it's very difficult to pin down. I mean, obviously, when we take a look back at the cost price index, you know, that is up to the end of June. You know, we do have quite a high increase in the cost of beef. So I believe that the herd is decreasing, that the cost of beef is an awful lot more expensive. Restaurants certainly are feeling the pinch. Some of them are even taking steaks off of the restaurants. So then, you know, if you see restaurants taking steak off the menu, then you're certainly going to be taking it off the menu at home if it's becoming too expensive. So as a nation, we are really beginning to feel the pinch in our weekly grocery shop. And those figures that were released today comparing Ireland across these 36 nations across Europe, it's very interesting to see that that's reflected in last year. And it's going to be even more interesting to see what happens when we get to this year.
JP McMahon is with us as well. Michelin star chef, owner of the new Japanese restaurant, Kombu as well. You might have seen coverage of that. JP, as somebody who is buying food day in, day out, how have you seen these increased prices manifest?
Yeah, it has got a lot more expensive food. Even Irish butter now is more expensive than French butter, and it's produced in Ireland. And beef or chicken from outside Ireland is cheaper. And I think it's down to the cost of production. It's down to labour. It's down to energy. I think, as you said, we're an island. Even if you compare us to Belgium, they're surrounded by a couple of other countries. And I think that I can only see it getting more expensive. I don't know how the government can tackle it. I think like energy is a big one that we find that's increased a lot since COVID and hasn't gone back down. I mean, we're still paying probably like two-thirds more for electricity than we were before COVID, and I don't see that changing. So, yeah, both as a restaurateur and as a consumer, I notice it, and I don't know how to solve it, you know.
How has it impacted on the offerings in your different restaurants and what you put on the menu?
Well, actually, in Cava, we have quite a large tapas menu, and like it's probably symptomatic of the time. The menu was always kind of grown in small dishes, and then just last year we cut about a quarter of the menu off to try and decrease the labour costs, because the labour costs have got so expensive in the kitchens, and you're always trying to balance your labour in around 30%, and it's up on 40-45%. And that's from talking to other restaurants and restaurateurs, that the kind of new standard is 40% on labour, which leaves 60% of everything else you take in. So it's just, it's very, very tight, and you do need to be looking at, and it's funny now, we were talking today, that there's no such thing as a cheaper cut anymore. We used to say like, oh, you could get chicken thighs or beef cuts, but beef cheeks, sorry. But every cut is expensive now, but you're looking for less expensive stuff. And also, and sometimes you're thinking of, well, will we put on some more vegetable dishes? Will we try and get, and then also to offer more value as well? And I suppose that's what we're trying to do in Kombu, is to try and have a faster, more casual offering, which is a bit cheaper. Now, it remains to be seen if it covers everything, but that's the intention, because your traditional steakhouse restaurant, I don't know how, like the steak is probably the least amount of money you get back, and margin-wise. So it's very, very difficult.
And have you seen a change in consumer behaviour in terms of what's been selected off menus?
Well, I definitely noticed people having less desserts. I mean, and I think that's symptomatic of the cost of living, people having less money. So we do see, even in Cava, like a lot of people will not have dessert anymore, particularly regulars of that. Or they will come in, and because they can have like a kind of tapas selection, they'll go for some of the cheaper tapas and then still, I suppose, stay out the same time. So the spend per head has kind of gone down, even though your labour cost has gone up. So you're trying to kind of balance all these things. And I notice myself when I'm out, I mightn't have dessert. I mean, you might skip a starter. And so it is, you've got to look at it from somewhere in the middle.
Katrina, are we experiencing, or what we're experiencing now, is it an aberration, or did we just have abnormally low prices for a while and we just got to get used to this?
Well, and like there's two sides of the coin here. I mean, I certainly think that Irish food producers would argue that we have been paying an unreasonably low amount for our food to date, and that this is now that the cost of food is regularising out. But on the other side, you know, the families that are really beginning to struggle are beginning to struggle with the cost of food in general. Recent research from KPMG said that 54% of Irish consumers are buying less when they're going to the supermarket as a consequence of the increase in food. So I think that that's something that we have to be mindful of. You know, there will be a pinch point, there will be a tipping point where consumers will stop buying products, and then the producers will begin to feel the hurt. And, you know, we are where we are right now by a culmination of factors, not just energy. We've also got, you know, the cost of shipping, we've got the cost of staff, we've got the impending tariffs. So it's very difficult to predict how much it's going to increase, but I can guarantee it is going to continue to increase.
As was observed earlier in the show, if you've got a family of four with 200 grand coming into the house, they have to buy the same amount of food as a family of four with 20 grand coming into the house, which should give you a sense of who is most impacted by this. And Louise Bayliss is with me, the head of social justice and policy, rather, in St Vincent de Paul, Ireland. Louise, how is this impacting people and their discretionary spending?
I think what you said there is very true. What is happening is people don't have an increase in their budget. People on very fixed low incomes have a certain budget. They don't have that discretionary spending that others may have. So what they're saying is they pay their shopping bill. Their shopping bill budget hasn't increased, but what they're bringing home from the shops every week is getting smaller and smaller, and they're trying to stretch out that food. And we have heard stories where people are running out of food, adults, you know, for 1 or 2 days before they get paid again or before they get a social welfare payment. And what we can see in St. Vincent de Paul is that we're tracking our calls. We track our calls monthly, and we are now tracking at the highest level we've ever had. And almost 40% of those calls are purely for food vouchers.
And how worried are you then when you hear, you know, suggestions that this is the new normal, these food prices?
the new normal means that people who are on low incomes need extra support. What we saw last year and the year before were one-off payments to help with the cost of living, when some people didn't need those one-off payments. What we need now very much so is targeted payments, but also payments, sustainable payments. So for instance, we're asking in St Vincent de Paul for an increase in core social welfare rates of €16 per week. And the reason we're asking for that is the consumer price index, just to get people back to the purchasing power of 2020, we would need an increase of €11 per week. When you take all the one-off payments off, they'd need an €11. And if we're serious about increasing, decreasing poverty rates to the 2% consistent poverty, we're saying pay an extra €5, and that's where we're coming up with our €16 increase for consumer for the core social welfare rates.
Louise Bayliss, Head of Social Justice and Policy in St Vincent de Paul, Ireland. JP McMahon, the owner of, amongst others, the new Japanese restaurant Kombu, and Katrina Redmond, the consumer columnist with the Irish Examiner. Thank you all very much. One listener says, if we stopped exporting most of what we produce, prices might go down. Mark says, the overpriced food is down to gouging. Simple as that. And not just the providers. All input costs are gouged. Electricity, gas rates, and insurance, transport, etc. Why are we importing apples from Holland? If we were self-sufficient, we'd be better off. I work in a food service supplying hotels and restaurants. As another listener, the beef price is high because it's selling 20% higher to the UK and other markets, and bird flu is driving chicken prices, and the government are allowing all beef out of the country. There should be a cap on exports. It's a disgrace. The assessment of somebody else.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.